7, when he began to speak about all the shipwrecks and the stonings and all the things that he went through, and he said in verse 8:28, besides those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, he said, the care of all the churches. That's what I thought about before I got up here to preach this morning, amen. Thinking about the care of having to preach to the people and then leave my grandson with his grandma, amen. Got a lot of care, you know. I said, is he 8? She said, I don't know when he ate last. I said, has he got a passage? She said, no. I said, well, what kind of prepared are you? Well, if he has to eat and get up when his grandpa's preaching, amen. He got to be prepared for that kind of stuff, amen. See, Papa knows how to take care of Gammy. She's still learning, amen. All right. Good morning. Good to be in church. Good to have a missionary friend with us, amen. I'm just talking about my grandson. He's just a few weeks old, brother, you know. Just bear with me and my folly. Amen. Amen. Hey, brother, you spent how many years in the military?
Myself,
23 years. Thank you for your service, brother. Thank you for your service afterward to try to reach those in the military. What a blessing. Good to have you, brother. Take your Bibles, turn with us to the book that Paul said to the faithful in Christ Jesus. Anybody know what book that is? The book of Ephesians. You're right. Amen. Good job. Amen. Ephesians chapter number 4. What he said in that first verse over there, to the faithful in Christ Jesus. It always stuck out to me, amen. A long time ago, I was reading the book of Ephesians, and that's what he said. He said, the book to the faithful in Christ Jesus. Amen. Chapter 4, where it gets to the practical side of the book. A lot of doctrinal issues in the first three chapters, and if you kind of broke down the book itself, there's chapters 4, 5, and 6, it begins to get real practical. And that's where some people have a problem, is the practical side of the Christianity. Some people have a problem with the doctrinal side of Christianity. Amen. You ought to have a balance on both sides of it. Amen. A false balance, the Bible said in the book of Proverbs, is an abomination in the sight of the Lord. You ought to have your doctrine right, and your doctrine ought to affect the way you live practically, which is doctrine, practical living. Amen. But Ephesians chapter 4, it speaks about the new man, the old man, putting off the old, putting on the new. And kind of like Romans over there in chapter 7, they're dealing with the battle between the flesh and the spirit. There's two different things that are battling us and as believers. But in verse 27, very familiar verse, I want to call your attention to this morning. Ephesians 4, verse number 27. Amen. If you found it, stand and honor God's word, amen. We'll read these six words. Very powerful six words. Ephesians 4, 27. What's the first word there?
Neither
give place to the devil. Neither give place to the devil. Let's pray. Have our missionary friend, brother, how about pray for us this morning? God help us, yes, glorify yourself. Amen. You may be seated. Neither give place to the devil. Let me preach on this thought this morning. Satan, you're not welcome. Satan, you're not welcome. He is the devil, the accuser of the brother. In Matthew chapter number 22, there's a parable of the marriage feast. And at that feast, there shows up a guest. If you go read that story over there in Matthew 22, this guest shows up that was not invited. And the king of the feast, being a type of God the Father, comes to that guest that was not invited. He calls him friend, by the way, which is the same term that the Lord Jesus Christ used for Judas Iscariot, which is the devil himself, amen. And he lets him know that, hey, bud, you're not welcome here. And he cast him out where the Bible said there'll be weeping and gnashing of teeth. He was not invited, amen. He was not welcome to the feast. Hey, there'll be some places in our lives where the devil, Satan, is not welcome in our lives. Amen. In our passage here this morning, if you read the context, verse 27 does not stand alone. It's connected to verse 26 and the fact that verse 26 ends in a colon. Look in verse number 26. The Bible says, be ye angry and sin not. That'd be some things you ought to get mad about. That'd be some things that upset you righteously, amen, that ought to disturb us, especially the way the world's going, the work of the devil that's going on, even the work in our own flesh, what we allow in our own bodies ought to make us upset. We're to get angry about some things in our lives. Amen. He says, be ye angry and sin not. That's the balance within your Christian life, being upset about things, being able to handle it without sinning. He says, let not the sun go down upon your wrath. And connected with that verse by a colon, the verse 27, neither give place to the devil, period. It connects the two verses together. Amen. When you don't handle anger right, you give place to the devil. Amen. I mean, there's some things, as I said, you ought to be upset about it, amen. But when you don't handle it the right way, you allow the devil to have a place in your life, amen. Hey, what the devil will do, and you allow him to have place when anger arises in your life, you don't handle it the right way, it can bring despair to your home, amen. It brings despair to your life, amen. Hey, getting upset, not being under the influence of the Holy Ghost, and then getting to sin in your life, it can bring hurt or despair to your lives. You know what else it can bring? It can bring dishonor to God. Amen. How many times have we opened our mouths and brought dishonor to God, or our actions, because we did not handle our anger the right way, which turned into sin in our lives? Amen. It'd bring despair to your lives, bring dishonor to God. It'll bring discouragement to others. I mean, people begin to look at you and thinking, man, what kind of mess you just made? Hey, be ye angry and sin not, neither give place to the devil. Amen. Hey, not only will it bring discouragement to others, it can bring disunity in the body of Christ. Amen. A lot of things has brought disunity to the body of Christ. Hey, be ye angry and sin not. Amen. The verses in verse 26 and verse 27 kind of go along. You hold your place here. Look in 2 Corinthians chapter number 2. And we'll get into the message. 2 Corinthians chapter 2. These two verses can be connected to these two verses. The Bible says, be ye angry and sin not. Anything ever made you upset? Do you ever get upset? Do you get upset about the work of the devil? Have there been times in our lives when we got upset and got in the flesh and allowed the devil to have a place in our lives? I kind of connect these verses with these verses in Corinthians, because the Bible is a chain reference within itself. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, look in verse 10 and 11, which both verses are connected by semicolon. The Bible said in verse 10, to whom you forgive anything, I forgive also. For if I forgive anything, to whom I forgive it, for your sakes forgave I it in the person of Christ. Anybody ever done you wrong? Let me ask you this. Has anybody ever done you wrong where it made you mad? Got upset? Got angry? Is it wrong to be angry because you were done wrong? It's a natural response in the flesh. Is God going to judge you because something upsets you because what someone done that was wrong that needed to be forgiven? I don't believe so. I believe it's when you don't handle that anger right that might produce you to do a certain action back that's not of God, which produces sin in your life. Not necessarily wrong because you got upset. We need more people to get upset. Somebody ought to get upset about the way the world's going, amen, the way the devil's working, the way God's people is being pulled astray, the work of Satan ought to make us upset. Amen. Sometimes people do it against yourself, and you have to find out forgiveness in your heart. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32, I believe is the verse, amen, forgiving one another as God for Christ's sake has forgiven you. You better learn to forgive, amen. Not necessarily not get upset. Things do make you upset, but don't cause the upsetness to lead into sin in your life. Be willing to forgive. Why? Look at this verse connected with the two verses we read in Ephesians. Lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his what? Devices. And when you allow the devil to do when you don't learn to forgive, you allow the devil to have an advantage. In connection to Ephesians chapter number 4, you allow him to have a place. You allow him to set up residence, if you will. Amen. To come in, you welcome him where the Bible says there's some places that the Satan should not be welcome. Amen. Just as he was not welcomed in heaven, amen, in that parable in Matthew 22, and the king himself kicked him out, and the type of God the Father kicking out the devil himself, he's not welcome, amen. There's some places in our lives where the devil should not be welcome, amen. Amen. Hey, number one, the devil should not be welcome in your conscience. That's your mind, amen. Hey, the devil's not welcome in my mind, and he ought not to be welcome in your mind. Yeah. Somebody said it's not a Bible verse, but an idle mind's what? The devil's workshop. Amen. He likes to sit up there and go to town and build some things up in your mind. Amen. Hey, you, it's like someone said, amen, I can't stop a bird from landing on my head, but I can prevent him from building a nest. You know what we do with the devil? Amen. Hey, you necessarily maybe can't stop him from getting in there because you're going to see things. You're going to hear things. He's going to enter in through those gates. Even sometimes smells will cause emotions inside of you. The devil can get or touch where the devil can get in and start running in your mind and maybe begin you to think certain things. Hey, he can come in, but it don't mean you have to be welcomed in. Amen. Look in 2 Corinthians chapter number 10. The devil should, Satan should not be welcome in your conscience. He should not be welcomed in your mind. I wonder how many people this morning has allowed the devil just to wreak havoc with them the past week, all in their mind. Just running rabbits and running crazy and destroying you, causing you to have sleepless nights and leading to ulcers in your stomach, amen, and an unsettled life, and you're not able to function right because the devil's just got all kind of thoughts running in your mind. Hey, let the devil know this morning, you're not welcome in my conscience, amen. You're not welcome there. You're not setting up residence. I don't have a room for you to abide, neither give place to the devil. Amen. Don't let him have way in your conscience. Don't let him run crazy in your mind. Cause you to think things against God's people, about against God, against his word. The devil loves to mess with your mind. 2 Corinthians chapter number 10, look in verse number 3. The Bible says, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. You live in the flesh. I got thinking right now, maybe you need to slow down a little bit. About like Brother Luke Miller this morning. Brother Luke, it was kind of funny hearing you read real slow. That Yankee, you know how they talk? They talk like Southerners. Slow down a little bit, amen. Brother Luke reading, he's like, la, 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 la. And I'm thinking, he's wondering why I'm smiling at him over there. It wasn't because I was pointing a gun at him, you know. It's just because I just thought it was funny, amen. Slow down. It's a good technique, amen. Maybe cause somebody to hear a little something. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. Well, we have a flesh that's wicked. It ain't saved, right? There's a new man inside of you that's born again. But we do not war after the flesh. You're not going to conquer this thing with this flesh. In me and my flesh dwelleth what? No good thing. You're not going to conquer it with it. Amen. You can't fight flesh with flesh. Amen. It's going to be a bloody battle. Amen. Hey, the Bible said in verse 24 in the parentheses, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Amen. Hey, God knows how to pull down the strongholds. Amen. The weapons of our warfare is not carnal. It's the Spirit of God. It's the Word of God. Hey, it might be the saints of God that are spiritual. It might be a spiritual filled walk with God. It's the spiritual things that you fight the flesh with. Amen. You try to fight the flesh with the flesh is going to get war, and eventually the flesh will win. Amen. The devil lets it get in your mind, which is the fleshly part of your being. Amen. It's there and it's thinking. Amen. That conscience can be seared. It can be attacked. Amen. The devil wants to get up and to destroy the way you think, the way you function. Amen. He can get in your mind and begin to destroy every action of your life. You know what you need to say this morning? Satan, you're not welcome in my conscience. Amen. Neither give place to the devil. The Bible says in verse 5, casting down what? Imaginations. How many imaginations pop up? You know what you got to do? You got to cast down the imagination. Amen. What's an imagination? That's something fictitious. Something made up. Within the thought of the devil in your own mind, you begin to make up all kinds of things. And you begin to imagine it. You ever imagined? I'm not talking about that. The first thing that's coming to my mind, a little worldly contemporary movies. I can only imagine. Yeah. Casting down imaginations. They're there, you know. I'm telling you. You hear something one time, it's there. There's things in your mind that's back there from the past that you'd like to get down. At some time, they like to rear themselves up. You go into a place of eating, you hear that music, and it begins to go in there and begins to turn. Isn't it amazing how much of those songs you can remember, but you can't memorize a Bible verse? Casting down the imaginations, they just pop up. And every high thing that what? Exalted. Here's the kicker. That exalted itself against the knowledge of God. You know what those imaginations do? They try to exalt themselves against the knowledge of God. And the knowledge of God should be superior. Hey, the Word of God and the things of God are to be above all our imagination. But there's imagination where the devil tries to take up residence in your mind. Satan, you're not welcome in my conscience to try to bring imaginations against the authority of God's Word. Isn't it amazing how many people threw down the authority of God's Word because of an imagination in their mind? Something that's made up, that's fictitious, that the devil has played around with them to destroy the authority of God in their lives. Casting down every imagination and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God. Look what he says. And bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of what? You got to bring that thing in captivity. You got to stop that thing before it begins to run wild. When something's in captivity, it's prisoned. It can't run freely. You know what we've allowed to do with those evil imaginations, those thoughts, where we've allowed the devil to have a place in our mind? He's just running rapid. And he's going everywhere he can. Amen. And many people has allowed places for the devil in their conscience. Amen. And you need to let the devil know, hey, you need to give place to the devil. Satan, you're not welcome in my conscience. Amen. The imaginations. Here's a few thoughts about the word imagination in your Bible. And in Romans chapter 1, the brother spoke about it this morning, verse 21. Hey, they're vain imaginations. You know what their vain imaginations did? It caused their thoughts to be darkened. Boy, and it led to a lot of dark sins in Romans chapter number 1. From sodomy, amen, on down the list of a disobeying parents, amen. Hey, the list is broad and it's very clear. Hey, your thoughts begin to come darkened because of the vain imaginations where we allow the devil a place in our minds. How many people just allowed the devil to say, yeah, you can have a little time. You can take up residence. I'll give you just a little place. The old saying is you give the devil an inch and he'll take a mile. Amen. He wants the whole residence. He just don't want a room up in your mind. He wants the whole house to himself. Amen. And if he can get a room, then he can spread himself around. Hey, neither give place to the devil in your conscience. Amen. Don't let him have a place in your mind because the imaginations will become vain and it'll cause darkness in your life. You know how you can tell if the devil's having a place in your mind is your life becoming dark spiritually. Your imaginations causing darkness in your life. Cause you to do and say and go to places where God forbid you should be doing. Jeremiah 7 and verse 24 said their imaginations caused them to go backwards and not forward. You know what's happened to a lot of God's people? They've allowed the devil to have place in their conscience and their lives are going backwards instead of forward. I mean, it's a good way to examine your life is just to look at where you're at. Are you going forward or are you going backwards? If you're going backwards, why are you going backwards? Is it maybe because you've allowed the devil to have a place in your conscience and now he's running wild because of things you've let go in through your eye gate, the things that you've been listening to and are not good for you, the things that you've been around, the places you've been going, hey, the things that you've been touching, you've allowed the devil to come in and now he's running wild with your mind. It's got you dark and it's got you going backwards on God. And the warning was in Ephesians, neither give place to the devil. Be careful what he's doing. Amen. Imaginations. He read it again this morning in Genesis chapter number 6 in the beginning. The Bible said their imaginations and their thoughts were evil continually. You know what happens? You give him a little place. Instead of casting it down and bringing it into captivity and saying, no, Satan, you're not welcome in my conscience. Amen. You ever talk to yourself? You said that's a schizo. Amen. That's what you are. Amen. There's a born again child of God inside of you and the flesh is lost. There is two people there going on. If there's not two there, there's just one and you're lost. Amen. That old flesh is saying this, kind of like the old story was, the little white angel, the little black angel, you know, one of them talking this way, another one talking that way. It's the flesh and the spirit. It's the old man and the new man. There's a battle going on. The devil's trying to say, he's messing with your mind and trying to influence the flesh to go this way. Where the spirit said, no, let's go this way. Amen. So you allow him to have a little place in your thoughts because imaginations go backwards and you're going backwards instead of forward and your thoughts are becoming darkened, amen, in wickedness and now they're on evil continually. All you think about is garbage. Are you there? You know what's happened? You've allowed the devil to have place. You say, I'm not there. Preacher, doubt it. Oh, God help, I'm not there. But you know what? You gave him a room and if you're not careful, it won't be long, you'll be there. I mean, they didn't just wake up in Genesis chapter number 6 and God said, I'm going to flood the earth out. Amen. It was a process of time that people began to get in that kind of state and that kind of mindset. And just as the brother said this morning, that state of influence is influencing us today. The imaginations, the things that are out there that you can see that can influence you, you better not give place to the devil in your conscience. Amen. He needs to be told, hey, you're not welcome. Amen. Those imaginations must be brought into captivity. They must be cast out. You say, how in the world do you do that? You ever thought, how do you clean your mind? You remember somebody say you need a brainwashing. And a lot of people say, well, people in our kind of circle who believe the King James Bible and believe Jesus Christ the only way and the true doctrines of the Word of God, they say that you brainwash. You know what? I'm not ashamed to say I am. I've been brainwashed by the Word of God. Amen. My brain needed washing. It's filthy, amen. You know what? To help this old world, they need a good brainwashing. I'm not talking about somebody drinking Kool-Aid and doing something that's, God forbid, that's not in the Word of God and the Scriptures itself. But we need this old pure words of God to wash our brain and cleanse us by the washing and cleansing of the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. The blood of Christ will cleanse your conscience, he says in Hebrews 9 and 14. Amen. You bring that thing into captivity. You don't want to run the devil off? The blood. Devil can't stand the blood, amen. He don't like the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what saved our souls. That's what changed our lives. That's what will cleanse your mind, amen. Plead the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ and ask God to give you strength to bring that thought into captivity and say, devil, no, you're not welcome. Don't entertain it. Don't play around with it. See how far you can go with it. Let me let you in on a secret. It's bigger and more powerful than you are. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal. You will not overcome it in the flesh. And for some reason, we allow the devil just to take up residence. You never once in a while you need to do inventory like the Lord did over there at that marriage feast and say, hey, what are you doing here? You don't have a garment on. Nobody invited you. You're going to have to go. Every once in a while you do the inventory in your mind instead of letting the devil run wild and say, what in the world are you doing? What are you ever do that? What are you thinking? I mean, we always do it to our kids, right? And sometimes we do it to our spouses. Sometimes we do it to our church members. And then once in a while we do it ourselves. What are you thinking, man? What are you allowing your mind to go there for? That is not good for you. You know what someone said? What you thinking today, you may become tomorrow. And that's a dangerous thought, ain't it? You better bring it. That's why God said bring it into captivity. Amen. Let Satan know, hey, neither give place to the devil. You're not welcome in my conscience. Hey, here's one. Number two, back in Ephesians. Look in Ephesians. Ephesians chapter number 4. Hey, devil, you're not welcome with my companion. In other words, you're not welcome in my marriage. You know the devil loves to destroy your marriage? I mean, he is the accuser of the brethren. He'll do all he can to destroy your marriage. I mean, in the context of what we said in Ephesians chapter number 4, that verse is connected to be ye angry and sin not. How many times do you find yourself angry at your companion? That's a good answer. Don't say nothing, man. Good job. Don't even nod your head. Just think it in your conscience. And bring it into captivity before it comes out of your mouth. Because it will not be good when you get home. But hey, it's reality. It happens. Hey, anytime you hang around somebody long enough, you can get on each other's nerves. It's a part of life. Watch it, sister. Amen. See, you done got it. That's right. See, that's how it works. If you get me, I get you. Amen. We ain't going down without a fight. Amen. Be angry and sin not. Amen. And the Bible says that anger will open a door for the devil to get into your marriage. Someone said like this, amen, neither give place to the devil. Don't go to bed mad. Just stay up and fight. Amen. You got to put some humor in there somewhere. It's kind of rough stuff. You start talking about marriage. Hey, don't go to bed, man. Just stay up and fight. Why, some of you got bags under your eyes. Amen. You stayed up and fought. Amen. I'm not going to lose. I'm going to be right. Kind of like we was watching my nephew one time, and he had a problem doing this right. He said, don't you point at me, son. You know, didn't he do this right here? Don't you point at me, son. Pop his hand down. And he got down here, and he'd do this. That's the way we are. How far can I go, you know? How much can I get by with? You know what? The devil has no place in our companions. The devil has no place in us. And I talk about companions. Maybe we ought to zero into what it is. Most of the time, the problem is ourselves. And we're always trying to make the other be what they ought to be instead of being what we ought to be. Hey, the devil, you have no place when it comes to me as a husband. And the wife ought to say, devil, you have... My grandson's amen right there. Somebody's going amen. Hey, the devil has no place. Hey, you know, my wife says this all the time. Hey, what you're fussing about? Is it going to matter next week? Most time it's gone until the next fight. Then you bring it all back up, rehashing it, you know. You didn't get it right then. If you keep rehashing it, amen, let it go. If it's under the blood, it's over. Act like Christ, amen. Don't keep bringing it up. Hey, would you like Christ to bring up everything you done wrong when you do something wrong last time? We ought to be more like Christ, amen. Don't bring it back up. Are you doing stirring up more trouble? Amen. I mean, what you're fussing about today, it ain't going to matter next week. What you're fussing about on the way to church, it ain't going to matter next Sunday. You're going to be fussing about something else. Going to have a new argument. Amen. Hey, I like to say it like this, a little bit stronger than that. Yeah, it ain't going to matter next week. Hey, what you're fussing about today is going to matter in the judgment seat. That's where the rubber meets the road. When you stand before the Lord, is it going to be worth it all? Hey, to sell out your marriage and sell out your home. Hey, don't let the devil have place in your marriage. You got no place with my companion. Hey, like Brother Miller said this morning about going down to Charleston and somebody saying something to his wife. Man, they ain't got no place. And the devil ain't got no place. It'll upset us when the devil tries to jump on our wives. And wives, it'll upset you when the devil jumps on your husband. Well, they're praying for another one another and praying the devil off one another and getting us right with God so we can serve the Lord together. Neither give place to the devil. He ain't got no place with our companions. In Ephesians 5, verse 20 through verse 33, talks about Christ and the church. Was he used an example of the wives and husbands? Hey, wives, in verse number 22, the straight command was submit. And when he says the husband in verse 25, he says, love your wives. Wives, submit to your husbands. Wives, love your wives and protect them. Hey, devil, you got no place in my home. I'm not allowing you to destroy my wife. How about spend a little more prayer time for that wife? When she gets on your nerves. And when that husband don't act like he should, how about pray to God more? Who's going to bring these things? We war not with the flesh, but that's what we try to conquer. It's a spiritual battle. And, but she's my fleshly wife, I know. But what's going on is a spiritual thing. And if they're going to love God and do what's right in the flesh, they're going to have to get the spirit right. Pray for them that God will help them and protect them and give them strength. And pray for God to give you what you need to be able to handle it the right way. Hey, you need to let the devil know. Let Satan know you have no place with my companion. Which leads into my next one. It's very obvious. Satan, you have no place with my children. You're not welcome with my children. You're not welcome with them. He's trying all he can to get to them. The devil's trying all he can to get to your kids. He's doing all he can to get to your children. Hey, in Ephesians chapter number 6, he said in verse number 1, children, listen to this, kids, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is what? It's the right thing to do. Obey your parents. Look at this verse 2. Honor thy father and thy mother, which is the first commandment with what? It comes with a promise. What is the promise of obeying your mother and father? Verse 3, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. You'll live long if you obey mom and father. Because down in the south, they'll kill you. It's not what it means. But the Lord can take it short in your life. And I believe a lot of children's lives have been shortened because of their disobedience to their parents. God will honor His promises. God will not lie. Amen. You're putting yourself on dangerous grounds when you disobey your parents and not honor them the way they should be honored. And then he goes to the fathers, saying, not only should they do their part, but you fathers, verse 4, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. Hey, as a father, as a mother, amen, you ought to let the devil know, you ought to let Satan know, you've got no place with my children. Not giving you no avenue with them. Hey, by this context of this scripture, there's a couple of practical things as parents you ought to do. You ought to direct your children. Bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Amen. Hey, if they're going to obey you, you've got to set some rules. You ought to direct your children in the right way. They ought to know how to function in this world, and it is our responsibility to direct them. You know what we've done? Just do whatever you want to do. Children run the house. Children has no business running the house. The only person that has business running the house is grandchildren. And they don't either. You have to direct them. Somebody's got to bring them up. Amen. Not only must you direct your children, you must discipline your children. Well, that's a lost art. You know what they say? Well, I'm not going to beat my children. Well, you don't beat them, they're going to end up beating you. Sometimes they might beat you physically. Sometimes they will beat you mentally and spiritually. Because you didn't bring them up. You spared the rod. You destroyed your children, amen. Instead of chasing them B times, which means before it's too late. Hey, you waiting. Well, how'd they get in this shape? Nobody's ever shown them there's consequences for wrong. That's God chases His children. Hebrews chapter number 12. Whom He loveth. Love chases children. Where's the discipline at today? Where is it? You ain't getting by with that. There's consequences for your own. And we wonder why we're raising such a hell-raising generation that cannot obey authority. We've never taught them to obey it at home. Amen. Don't allow child abuse and people to do it the wrong way to stop you from doing it right. Amen. It is your responsibility, amen. Hey, you know how you keep the devil out? You direct them. You show them the right way. You diss them for wrong. Let them know that's the way the Heavenly Father is. And you condition them in trying to mold them in a shape to be able to receive the conviction of the Holy Ghost and receive the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior one day. But if they got full reins and there's no authority and there's no rule and I do what I want, why are they ever going to see a need to submit to any authority, much less God? That's where we're at. People are scared. Well, if I discipline them, they're going to hate me. No, they're going to love you is what they're going to do, because that's what God said. Whatever happened to trusting God? You know what we're allowing the devil to have place? We're allowing Satan in our children because we won't direct them. We won't discipline. Hey, here's another one. You won't do things with them. What about spending time with your family? What about making time for them? Amen. Hey, somebody said this, and I believe it to be true. If you don't take up time with your children, the devil will. He'll take up time with them. He'll take up time with them. He'll. You know what most of these people that get in these cults do, these teenagers? You know what they say? I was just looking for somebody to love me. I was looking for somebody to accept me. And sometimes that because they were never directed right, their acceptance is a far-fetched thing from reality in the Word of God. They want to be accepted in their sin. And God forbid you should never accept your children in sin. They should always be told by the Word of God and authority and the love of God that it is not right they ought to serve God. Once you start condoning sin in their lives, you're opening a floodgate to allow Satan in to push them away from God. And oh, how many times we as God's children, raising families because we love our children, God forbid we ought to love our children, but we start allowing Satan in by condoning their disobedience against the Word of God. And saying, well, God understands because it's my kid now, but it wasn't all right for somebody else's kids. And then when you start allowing it to your kids, you know what you're doing? You're giving place for the devil. You're saying, devil, you're welcome with my children. We don't look at it that way, but that's what happens. And then when you start condoning it, the devil don't just want that much, he wants more. And then when that kid begins to be accepted for their wrongdoing, and then you tell them the church is wrong, and the preacher's wrong, and the godly people are wrong, and it's okay, God understands you, then it opens up the wider gate to then they're all out there full in hell, and then who can do anything with them? And then we look back thinking, where did we go wrong? You know what's bad about it? When we get to that state, when we ain't right with God, when we've allowed Satan in, and we've allowed him to have run in our conscience, then he starts running wild with us, and then you start blaming everybody that done it right, that we pushed them that way. Ain't it amazing how the devil turns it all around? Whatever happened to owning the thing and saying, you know what, if I just raised them the right way and put authority in their life, maybe God could have used it to convict them and get them right. You know why you get saved? You know why you got saved? For the Scriptures have concluded all under sin. Somebody let you know you were wrong. You know why you repent and you get right? Because you found out you had sinned against God and you need repentance in your life. Ain't nobody getting right and getting saved because nobody's being told they're wrong. Now you got to expect them to get right if they never know they're wrong. Oh, prodigal son, when I wasted his substance and wine, right is living. And the Father said, if you got to do it, you got to do it somewhere else. Then he come to himself. What? You ever thought about what did he come to? He come to himself. What did he come to? I mean, himself is flesh. Ain't no good in your flesh. In me and my flesh dwell no good. Then what did he come to? If he come to himself, there was something instilled in that guy that was right by God that he could come to. We got a world out there of children in the world. They ain't got nothing to come to. Because they've never been there. God forbid, you better put it in them now. You better let the devil know, Satan, no, you ain't got no place in my children. You ain't got no place in my conscience. You ain't got no place with my companion. Get thee hence, devil. Amen. Jesus said, get thee behind me, Satan. By the power of God, you got to put him in his place. If you don't, the devil will. Keep them away from things and people that will open gates for the devil to come in. You better keep them away from some of that junk. You better keep them away from some of that stuff they're watching and listening to and playing to. And you underline it. You fill in the blank, because if I start naming something, you'll miss something. But I'm sure the Spirit of God's putting it on you. You allow it. You know what you're saying? Satan, you're welcome. Just a little time. Just a little leisure. But he don't want leisure. He wants it all. He comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Neither give place to the devil. You got no place. Number four, you got no place in our church. Amen. Devil ain't got a place in this church. You know what you need to let him know? You're not, you're not welcome.
Yeah,
we're not the average church where everybody's welcome.
Yeah.
Come as you are and leave as you came. No, that's the devil's mentality. Satan, you're not welcome at church. You say, well, he'll get saved. He's the devil. He ain't getting saved. He ain't welcome. We're not allowing him. Amen. Hey, you know what the devil wants to get into? He wants to get into everything and make it filth. You know what he wants to do? He wants to get in your music program. Oh, the devil, you're welcome. Get in there. We'll sing it contemporary. We'll throw down the hymns. We'll let anything go. Let the devil know. Satan, no, you're not welcome in our music. You're not welcome in our music. You're not welcome in our messages. Amen. We're not corrupting the Word of God. This is the authority of God. It's the words of God in this King James 1611 Bible. This is God's words. You're not welcome. We're not preaching out of your King James, New King James, and your ASV and your NIVs. He's not welcome in our messages. With an ecumenical gospel. God forbid this ecumenical movement that anything goes. Let us all just come together. We can't all come together. What are people thinking, allowing the devil in? How can you fellowship with anything? And that's why you got to love everybody. I hate sin. I hate the devil. And I hate things that are of the devil. And we can't all come together. We can't lay down the standards and just ecumenicalize with all the churches in the community and all of us come together and have some. It ain't going to work.
Amen.
Truth divides.
Amen.
You start laying it down and anything goes, and you got some to believe work salvation, some to believe faith salvation only, and some believe in slain and tongues, and some believe in straight English, and you got a whole crowd. Just a non-denominational movement. He ain't welcome.
Amen.
He ain't welcome. And I was going over the internet. Help yourself if you're listening. Amen. Get yourself right with God. God ain't interested in the ecumenical movement.
Amen.
Satan ain't welcome. You need to let him know he ain't welcome.
Amen.
That's why we got on our sign what we are. We are independent Baptists.
Amen.
We don't stand for everything.
Amen.
You say the independent Baptists got it all right. Nobody got it right in anything else I know. Amen. Hey, they believe the Bible's right. God forbid. And we got a foundation to start with. Salvation's right. Jesus Christ is the only way. Don't let the devil have place.
Yeah, amen.
You give him a little bit. And lay down your standards. And lay down your church off your title. And lay down your Baptist. And lay down your independent. And, you know, we're trying to reach a broader spectrum. Yeah, it's going to be broader. He ain't welcome. Neither get place. He ain't welcome in our members. He ain't welcome. You're not welcome in what you're doing to God's children. You're not welcome in our mission program. You go down with all the M's and add some more if you want to. Amen. He ain't welcome. Amen. Hey, neither give place to the devil. Hey, you giving place to him in your church? It's your church. This church is made up of us. Not my church. I don't own it. I'm just a pastor, the director. God put me in that position, head, the ruler of the flock, if you will, the terms the Bible uses in the Bible. I mean, this is your place. You ought to feel the same way I do. He ain't welcome.
Amen.
We're not having schisms in the body to divide the body of Christ. Hey, Jesus Christ, here's the example. Luke chapter number 19. He went in the temple and they sold doves, you know, making merchandise of the house of God, throwing down prayer and God and the authority of God and the power of God and doing it their own way. That's what they were. That's the whole thing boiled down to. They were doing it their own way. Instead of coming down there to the priest with a sacrifice, they just so lazy, they just buy one when they get there. That's what we want. We just buy one when we get there. We won't bring a Bible, we just pick up one on the pew somewhere. It's all easy, you know? What happened to you having some kind of a responsibility in yourself? We want to pick up a songbook, that's just too old-fashioned. We just watch the bouncy ball. We just get there and just flop in and just enjoy ourselves. Make me happy if you can. That's the way they were. Hey, they weren't bringing their sacrifices like they used to. They just bringing some money in their pocket, throw a little bit in the plate. Boy, we all feel good now. Give me my sacrifice, let me get mine right. Say my penance, amen, my Hail Marys, rub my rosary beads, and my. We all good. I went to church Sunday, I gave my tithe. Yeah, but you're going to hell and your life ain't right.
Amen.
You're not welcome.
Amen.
Neither give place to the devil, amen. He ain't welcome. Let him know he ain't welcome. You know what the Lord did? He went in there, flipped the tables over, run the whole crowd out with a whip. You say, what'd he do? He got angry.
Yeah, amen.
And he sinned not.
Yeah.
You upset? You ought to be upset. You know what upset you? 1 Corinthians 12:25, the schisms in the body. Amen. You know what the devil will do? He'll get into church, he'll get you at odds with the pulpit. And all goes back to that mind. He gets you thinking, well, I don't like the preacher. He's thinking, you know, hey, oh, he looks at me that way. Maybe it's because I got heartburn. I mean, y'all gave me ulcers, man. I've been here so long. My stomach is messed up. I'm eating good Tums all the time. I'm not looking at you strange. I just need to burp. So my grandson looks at me that way. He ain't mad at me. No, no, he is not. It's just gas, man. Maybe it's gammy, but not me. Just a little look in your mind, the devil's up there.
Amen.
Somebody's getting treated better than this. The devil's, he's getting, you get out, you ain't got a place. Man, we a body of believers, just trying to serve the Lord, do what we can in our best. Don't war with the flesh. Let the devil have his way. Satan, you're not welcome in our church. You're not going to put me at odds with my pastor. You ain't going to put me at odds with somebody in the pew. You're not going to cause me to run rabbit and backbite and tell bear and hurt one another. You've got no place in the church.
Amen.
Run him out.
That's
what the Lord did. Hey, here's lastly. You know what? Satan, you got no place in my conversion.
Yeah.
You know what the devil wants to do? He wants to, you know what your conversion is? That's your salvation.
Yeah.
2 Corinthians 4:4, in whom the God of this world, there he is, have blinded the minds of them that believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, boy, what a glorious, lightly gospel it is,
amen,
who is the image of God, should shine into them. You know what the devil's trying to do? He's trying to have place in your conversion. You know how he'll get place in your conversion? He'll give you a false one. You know what the devil will say? Well, you know you saved. You've been going to church all your life. You know what you're doing? You're giving him place. Well, you remember that time you got baptized? And you can't let people down. You know what he's trying to do? He's trying to have place in your conversion to damn your soul to hell. Don't you let him have place. Don't you let him come in there and cause you to believe something other than the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ for your salvation. How that Christ died for our sins and was buried and rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. The only way anybody's saved is by the blood of Jesus Christ. And if you're trusting anything other than that, you've allowed the devil to have place in your conversion. And it's not a biblical salvation. It's something that you have done. And that means you're lost and on your way to hell. And what would give the devil any more glory than to send God's creation to a devil's hell? He hates God's people. You know why? Because God loved them enough to die for us. Don't let him have place in your salvation. Hey, some of you are saved, born again, blood washed. And the devil wants place in your salvation to cause doubt. You know what he's trying to do? Trying to rob you of your assurance. And he gets you up there and thinking, man, you done that. You can't be saved. Look where you've been. Look what you thought. Look what you've been. And he's trying to cast doubt on your salvation. God wants you to be saved and know it. Don't allow the devil to have place. If you're saved and you know it, tell the devil to get out of here. Man, I take him to the place. When he comes up in there and he gets all in your mind, take him to the place where God convicted your heart and you believed on the Lord Jesus Christ and you asked God to save you and tell him to get me behind me. But if you got nowhere to carry him, you don't got a place, and he's saying, oh, surely you're okay. And the only thing he can tell you is, remember that baptism? Is that what he tells you to try to cause you not to get saved? When you're sitting there and you're wondering whether you're saved or lost, and the only thing you can say is, man, you've been giving money. And you've been going to church a long time. You know what that is? That's a lie of the devil. And you've given him place to give you a false hope to send you to a devil's hell. Don't give him place. The Bible says neither give place to the devil. Look in James 4 in closing. James 4. James 4 in closing. James 4. Sister, you come on to the piano. James chapter 4. Maybe you need to come this morning. James 4, listen to me. Neither give place to the devil. Satan, you're not welcome. You're not welcome. James 4, in verse 5, the Bible said, "Do you think that the Scripture saith in vain? The Spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth to envy, but He giveth more grace. Wherefore He saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. Submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he'll what?" You willing to submit yourself to God today? Then God will give you power to resist the devil, then he'll flee. Some people's trying to resist him without submitting to God. You got to submit yourself to God. You got to turn it all over to him. Then God will give you power to resist. Submit comes first. Draw nigh to God, he says it again in verse 8, and he'll draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Don't let him get in your mind. Don't let him have you double-minded. Don't let him get in your hands. Don't let him cause you filthiness. Be afflicted and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to heaviness. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he'll lift you up. God's the power. Why don't you come to him? Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Sister, you play. Maybe you need to come. Satan, you're not welcome.